My desire, you know, was to say in plain terms that our faith is given to us to connect with the Lord and with each other, not to determine the outcome of our circumstances. And a lot of times, you know, when you hear faith talked about, it says, well, if you had the right amount of faith, or if you said the right thing, or if you prayed the right way, you wouldn't be going through this. And I just, boy, you just can't find that in the Bible. So that's a problem. Anyways, so that's not what we're looking to. We're looking to a deeper connection with God and a deeper connection with one another. So out of this faith connection, we have a community of believers that is universal in scope. In other words, there's only one church. Right? I mean, we meet in different places. And I know there's all kinds of stuff out there right now. But why do there have to be all these different meeting places? Well, I can think of one good reason. There isn't a building big enough to hold all of us in one place. How's that? And I kind of look at denominations and different groups and movements within the overall body of Christ, kind of like different surnames and families. You know, we don't all live in the same house. That would be weird. So we all have, and we all kind of have our own way of doing things, and it's okay, right? So I want to just do a quick snapshot of Ephesians and just pull out some verses that sort of speak to this issue of the faith community and how I think it affects us. I love the epistle to the Ephesians because by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul takes us to great heights and grants us profound vistas into the things of the Spirit. There are statements in the Bible that if they weren't clearly articulated, I would not have the confidence to say them. Like, we'll get to it in a moment, but we've been raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seriously? That's amazing. Here's another one that's going to come up a little later. As He is, Jesus, as He is, so are we in this world. Wait. So, one of my deepest passions is for us to understand that when we're born again, and we've lived under this message, especially in the Western Church, when you're born again, everything's done, you're ready to go to heaven. And I want to say, why on earth was all of this written in the epistles, how to walk with God? If it's automatic. Yes, when we're born again, we're complete in Christ. We're on our way to heaven. But how many of you have grown any since you first got saved? Just like, you can look back and you go, wow, I grew. I mean, that, I used to think that way. I think, you know, all right. How many of you think there's still a bit of a gap between you and Jesus? You know what I mean? And so I just want to say that wherever you started and wherever you are and wherever you're going, it doesn't, you know, I don't really think that's super important. So all of us have different starting points. If you grew up in a Christian home, God bless you. You started way ahead of where I started. And so, but we're on this journey. And if you see someone else on the journey, your job is to encourage them. It's not to say, is really that's you're still dealing with that? There you go. So let me read to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I could say amen and we could walk out the door. That's a powerful statement. In Ephesians 1, beginning verse 3 to verse 12. I'm going to read it again because I want you to hear it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Wow. We've been predestined or foreordained, depending on your the version that you're reading, to be children of God. When there was just a big, giant vacuum before God ever spoke and everything was created, he saw you. I just think that should make you more happy. I don't know. And the purpose of us coming to Christ is to bring glory to God. Amen? And if you look at everything this, maybe we'll go back and look at these a little more closely, but I'm just shotgunning right now. This all occurs through the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And it's all according to his will. God loves you, and so his will is for your good. How many have ever been to a place when you were going through something difficult and you kind of looked up and you said, God, why am I going through all this? And there was a little bit of a tint of a blaming God. It's like, oh, come on. What happens is, it's me too, we lose sight of this. Pick up verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Everything that's in this epistle cannot be comprehended without wisdom and revelation from Jesus. In other words, if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it, it's just going to be like, uh-huh. How many of you ever read the Bible before you were saved? I did. I read all the way through the New Testament. I was like, what is he talking about? Somebody told me I should read it, so I did. Yeah, I'm glad I got saved, but it really, 99% of it didn't make sense to me. Now only 98% of it doesn't make sense to me. So. And what is the exceeding... Well, let me see, I got ahead of myself. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened to know that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I kind of emphasized when I was reading the his part, it's his inheritance. You're his inheritance. I shared with you some time back when we were talking about the bride of Christ, the Father's gift to Jesus is you. So if somebody says, who do you think you are? God's gift? You can say, yes, sir. But you don't mean it in the way they're saying it, right? I mean, we don't want to get haughty here, but it's his calling, his inheritance, his power. We enter into it. That's what's so amazing. So the Holy Spirit is breathing this prayer through Paul back to the Father for us. God, open the eyes of their understanding. And again, why would this prayer be needed if when we got saved, everything was done? I'm finished. I'm there. I'm like Jesus. I'm like, well, I'm not sure. We are called to grow up into his image. And I think for the most part, the church has been put to sleep with the message of eternal security. Now that you said this prayer, you're saved, you're going to heaven no matter what happens. I'm not here to rain on anybody's parade because I feel secure in Christ, but I don't think I can go out and do anything I want to and be okay. So I think for the most part, the church has been put to sleep not to explore the truths of the deeper things of God because we're just resting back and I'm saved. Praise God you're saved. Jesus is the door. We can all stand on the porch and praise the door, and that's a good thing, but go in, check it out. What's on the inside? What's in the Father's house? God wants us. I think God delights in a little bit of curiosity. So, this world, you know, the Apostle John talks about the things that are against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I think that's a chosen order. So, we're dealing with this world. We're in this world system. We have to somehow function as Christians in the midst of this, whatever this mess is. And, you know, as Americans, we've been blessed to live in a land where it's been fairly good, but it's changed. Okay? And so, the next thing is the flesh. You got to crucify the flesh with its desires. Then you're ready to take on the devil. Everybody talks like they're dealing personally with the devil. You're not. If you're still struggling with the world and the flesh, the devil's going, no problem. I'm going to go concentrate on somebody that's a real problem. So we want to be people that have conquered the world, the flesh, and the enemy in Christ. Amen? So we need to allow our eyes to be opened as we consider this prayer that's given for us. And let's stop talking about how the enemy's beating us up, okay? Can we do that? He's a loser. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. If he's going to get praise, let him get praise somewhere else, not here. Amen? If we're struggling with darkness, I'm saying to you, as politely as I know how, end your partnership with it. Because if you turn on a light, we did that, right? You turn on a light, there's no problem. There's no darkness where there's light. I mean, I know that sounds obvious, but it's true. So we're called to be overcomers, conquerors. Anyways, I'll move on. I can see you guys aren't excited about that. Chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So because this passage exists, we have no reason to fear anything but God. We've been raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And think about this for a moment. There's only one throne that matters. It's God's throne, right? And if you're seated in Him and He's seated on the throne, where are you? Who's buried in Grant's tomb? I mean, come on. When we are surrendered to our Father by His Spirit, we walk as Jesus walked on this earth, and as I quoted earlier, because as He is, so are we in this world. No one or no thing can overcome Jesus. This is a conversation that was never going to occur in heaven. Jesus and the Father, what are we going to do today? I don't know. Things are really bad. Never going to happen. Here's another one that's never going to happen. I don't know what to do. Pat, what do you think? Never going to happen. There's no threat against God. There's no threat against His throne. There's no threat against His leadership, His authority. There's no threat against anything pertaining to Him. And if we're in Him, there's no threat that exists against us. Amen? Look, Jesus himself told us, don't fear the one who can kill the body. Fear the one who has the power over eternity. I condensed his statement there. So can the devil bring harm to us? Absolutely. He can stir somebody up, have them run in here with a gun, shoot the pastor. I mean, it'd be bad for me, but shoot the pastor. Maybe shout some kind of weird Arabic phrase and then run out the door. And then you guys would have to fight over who gets the job next. No. He can do that. He inspires that. That's happened. Yes? But he can't take away our future. Every once in a while, it's okay when you're praying and praising God, just stop and just, if you feel darkness, if you feel the oppression trying to buffet you in that moment, just go ahead and remind him of his future. I'm not going to be there with you, contest loser. The purpose of this series on identity and destiny in my heart is to bring us as a church into an identity level cleansing so that we're no longer identified with who we were. And that's a challenge. How many of you ever said this since you've been a Christian? Well, my dad was that way, so I'm... My mom was that way, so I'm... You know, and what we're doing is we're reinforcing an identity that's outside of Christ. I've done it. So you've heard me joke about it. And there's a reality. There's been a resurrection. The old Irishman has come off the cross and he's got his fists... You know, that's my inheritance. So proud. And it is a fine inheritance too, isn't it? Yes, yes, yes. All right. God wants us to be completely free from the corruption that's in this world. Jesus didn't hang on the cross to purchase a ticket for us that we would somehow struggle through until we get there. He purchased our total cleansing, our total healing. Spirit, soul, and body. But that only happens when we're in Him. If I'm walking around in my carnal self, I don't get those benefits. Right? So, I'm going to push myself to move forward because I know the cake is calling some of your names. Chapter 3. Let me read to you beginning verse 8 and then I'm going to skip around a little bit. To me who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Oh, wow. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Skip to 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the second prayer. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he should grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is amazing. It's so great. But without revelation, how can you comprehend? How can you comprehend the love of God? Have you ever woken up and go, man, I'm the biggest stinker that ever lived? And I think that's what Paul is saying here in a better, you know, more eloquent way. To me who am less than the least of all saints. How could God love me? Have you ever had that? How could God love me? My stinky attitude, whatever. Great grace. He loved you so much, He's raised you up and seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now. I mean, I can see you, but the inner man is in Christ on the throne. It kind of sounds like doublespeak when Paul's writing here that we're to know the love of God which passes knowledge. Okay. But we need a deep revelation of that love because that's the thing that really keeps us. You know, isn't it interesting? People talk about fear, overcoming fear, and it's so simple. It's in the Bible. Perfect love casts out fear. I need more faith to overcome fear. No. Love somebody else more than yourself. Oh, that came in. That time an inside word came out. Okay. Skip down to chapter 4, beginning verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now this is the part where this is the faith community defined right here. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Let me just hold your finger there for a second. There's a comma. I just want to say it's not just us, it's the whole church. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. That's what God's plan for the church is. Hold the phone. Then he steps back into reality that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. I'm telling you, if we would stop and think about this once in a while, it would change everything. Wouldn't it? I've been in conversations and I don't mean anything by it, but how many of you believe communion is a blessing? It is an awesome blessing that God gave us a holy sacrament to share together. We're one body. You know, people will fight they'll go to blows over how we view that moment. What is that? And it's so amazing. There are people. Is healing a blessing? Wave at me. Is healing a blessing? It is, right? People will fight over that. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, don't be like children tossed around and by every wind of doctrine. I don't know if healing's for today. Then don't go to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be on the end of saying, well, I'm going to trust God. I'm never going to the doctor, because sometimes I pray and sometimes I go and it works. And then we kind of want the same thing, right? And then on the other hand, there's the people that say, well, maybe it's God's will that you're sick. Then why are you violating His will by going to the doctor and trying to get better? I'm just saying, healing is a blessing. You know, God made our bodies to heal themselves. I cut the end of my finger. I did a really good job when I got back from vacation. And it's still a little tender, but you can't hardly see where I did it. Might be missing a few fingerprints, but I really cut it. But it's healing, right? God made us that way. He made us to heal emotionally. He made us to heal spiritually. All of those three systems are, and then that healing, you know, there's gifts of miracles where there's an instant healing, but there's healing where the healing is accelerated. There's all kinds of ways God does it. I don't want to get into a fight about it. I just believe in it. And I always pray for healing. It doesn't always happen, but I'm always going to pray for it. Do you understand? So when we look at this statement about what the church is, we're not building ourselves up in love when we're arguing with someone else who calls themselves a Christian over what communion is, over whether or not people can be, you know, lose their salvation. Or I don't think you can lose your salvation. People are going, I lose my keys from time to time. I can't lose Jesus that way. But I can forsake it. And that, and I think we need to be, maybe on our side of the fence, we need to be a little clearer so we don't feel like we're getting saved every Sunday. I thank God. No, I haven't heard this in years and years, but I used to hear, I just don't know if I can make it till Sunday. Where did Jesus go on Monday? I mean, come on. We're here to build each other up in love. We're not here to go, I hope you can make it till next week when we gather again. So we as mature believers are to demonstrate the fullness of Christ to this world. Not individually. Nobody in this room has it all. Jesus had it all. You know, I see these advertisements for conferences, and this guy is like Apostle so-and-so. All right. Then the next conference he's speaking at, he's Prophet so-and-so. And then the next one, he's pastors. I'm like, wow, this guy's Jesus. I don't know what I am. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. So many of the titles, the way titles are used today, I think it's really inappropriate. I think there are titles. I think there are gifts. I think there are callings. But usually I want someone to tell me what it is. I don't want to tell them. I don't want someone to tell me I'm saved. I want me to tell them. You know, people come, do you think I'm saved? How do I know? Maybe because you asked, you need to pray through something. I don't know. So the purpose of true ministry is to mature Christians to the point that we all walk like Jesus, individual and corporately. That's what ministry is for. Ministry is not to do everything. So there's always newcomers into the faith, right? Those who have matured in their faith should be taking the new ones under their wings, maturing them until they are trained to do the same thing for others, just as one generation raises another. This is what I believe, and this is what I've practiced in my life. When Sarah and I were young, I wanted us to seek out people that had a successful marriage and raised their kids, were walking with the Lord. Those are the people that we tried to get close to, because Sarah's family, they're good, they're nice people, but they're not really serving the Lord. And my family was, wow. And I go, I don't want to repeat what I saw. But I know I will without help. And so my belief, my attitude is that I'm always going to look for someone that who's closer to God than me, maybe in a particular area. I might be stronger in another area, but I'm always going to draw strength from someone else and hopefully pass it on to someone else as well. Are you with me? If I live long enough, I'm going to run out of people to do that with. That's why Mel's here, so I have somebody to. I kind of joke around, but when Daryl's here, we're missing a Daryl. But Dennis and Daryl and Mel, and the times when we get together, I really love to hear the wisdom. It's a blessing. And the one thing I know about people like Mel, who's been in the ministry, and Dennis and the Daryls, if you feed them, they'll share with you. Yeah. Right? I lack wisdom. Where's the food? So you look for long-term intact marriages. You look for functional families. You cannot make it on your own. You can't. We need each other. Learn from the trials, pitfalls, and successes of those in your midst. Chapter 5 points us to walking in love, walking in light, the plan and purpose of marriage to reflect Christ in the church. I'm not going to spend any time there. I'm going to go right to Ephesians 6:10 for closing. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, above all, taking the shield of faith which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I just want to say here, you know, we play darts. You ever play darts, little darts? The word in the Greek there is where we get our word missiles. So the enemy's not throwing darts at you. That he's lobbing the big stuff, all right? And take on the helmet of salvation and the word and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All I want to say about this portion of Scripture is what Pastor Mel said 3 weeks ago. So you can go listen to it online if you didn't hear it, but I'm not going to... He did a great job with that. I don't need to do that again. I just want to remind us that we're in a war and it's not with each other. Sometimes it feels like it, I know. Sometimes Sarah thinks she's right. Unbelievable. Everything that we just read is true. It is. But sometimes we're weak. Sometimes the things around us that are saying the opposite of what I just read are louder in our hearts and minds than God's word. It's just a fact. That's why we need each other. I mean, there are those annoying people like Chad that always seem to be on top, but for the rest of us, we'll just... We do succumb to the wiles of the enemy. We do fail to seek God's will and get outside of His protection. We do. Aren't you glad for His grace? He's not some mean God up there just waiting to squish us like a bad bug. Oh, you did that? He's not like that. But we are called to be the praise of His glory. And it's not just Sunday morning, it's every day. I think about breathing, not in a New Age way. Okay, not going there. But when you breathe in, your body takes the oxygen and you need it. If you don't have it for very long, it's going to be a short day. So it comes in, and then when you exhale, it's not as good as when it came in. What God's sowing into us is good. It's good for us. And when we exhale out, it's not always as good as the way it came in. So like I just read to you, right? The things that Paul wrote this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and my commentary is probably like carbon dioxide to the oxygen that I just read. I'm just saying. But growing up into the image of Jesus is where what's coming out of us is more like Him than like us. And that's what God's calling us to. So we can walk in His Word, His gifts and power, His grace, and His love. That'd be nice, wouldn't it, if the world said, I can't stand those people, they're so loving. That's not typically what we hear. So, but it would be, I think, I would love to have that as our accusation here. There's not a lot of them, but they're really loving. I'm good with that. There's a big crowd, but they're always fighting. I'm not good with that. So I had this connection in intercession. If you would just, if you don't mind, if you would just bow your heads. This is the official close. When I was interceding this week, I felt really connected in the spirit to some people that were having trouble sleeping. And it was like, it's like you can't shut your mind off. It just races. And I believe God wants to heal that this morning. He wants to give you peace in your hearts and in your minds. And He wants to give you rest. And if that speaks to you, I don't want to try to push or prod. I just want to just put it out there. If that's you and you want to be touched, would you just stand up and this is body ministry. We're just going to pray, okay? Anyone else? I just want to make sure everybody receives what they need. So I know it can, maybe this can sound a little strange, but when I am in deeper intercession, I go through the symptoms of the people that I'm praying for. And I could probably describe fairly clearly what it feels like, but you already got it. And I don't know why it works that way. I've had people ask me, I really don't know. Sometimes I know who it's for and sometimes I don't. That's the beauty of praying in the Spirit, and I encourage everyone to do it more often maybe than you do right now. Is God can accomplish stuff outside of the realm of your understanding because you're praying the way He wants you to. So if you feel led, if you feel the grace of God on you and you feel led, would you just move right now towards someone who's standing and we're going to agree together? I would really like it if everybody had someone with them to pray. Go ahead, Daryl. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your power. It's not like the power that's in this world. It's not like the power that's demonstrated in this physical world. Your power is so great, but so often not seen. But it's there nevertheless. And Father, we come into agreement in the name of Jesus for these who are standing, that tonight will be the best sleep they've ever had in their lives. That racing of the mind will stop. They'll be at rest, at peace. I just want to say this, that you don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to know everything. Just be content where you're at. I just feel like, I don't know who that's for, but someone standing. So Lord, we thank You, we bless You, we release Your anointing and Your power into every heart and mind. Calm the anxiety, calm all of that is disrupting a fulfillment of a promise in Your word, Lord, that You give to Your beloved. Sweet, restful, peaceful sleep in Jesus' name. Amen.